All right, welcome to episode 11, part 2. You just missed the best dance party of the year, some bad radio. And yeah, Skype dance parties or FaceTime, I don't know, whatever. FaceTime's for rich people, I guess.
All the rage these days.
Yeah. Welcome to part 2 of episode 11. This is our Mother's Day week special.
And there we go.
It's been good. We were happy to have my mom on. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully you listen to that one. But now we're going to bump up. We're going to have another special guest, and we'll get it going. But we'll run through a little podium, a little midweek update, get us going, and let's get along. So how's your first couple days of the week been, Charlie?
Pretty great. I had an apartment inspection yesterday, so it's always exciting. Not really. So yeah, did
you
all
go
the
in your underwear drawer?
I hope not. Keep all my underwear there. So I did all the necessary cleaning to make my apartment look, you know, semi-reasonable. So maybe I'll get the invite to, you know, rent again next year. But yeah.
Do you have to be invited back?
Well, I mean, if it's like complete trash hole and like you have a bunch
of
violations.
They can kick you out, yeah.
They can kick, yeah. So, yeah, just trying to keep up, you know, just, you know, sneak by.
Yeah.
That and, yeah, it's been nice. 60 degrees like every day in the morning. It's been beautiful. Rolling with the windows down this week, that's for sure.
Oh, that's been my favorite part all week.
I love car rides with the windows down.
You got your arms resting there.
You get to a red light, you know, you tap your hand to the side of the car to the beat of the music, and then everyone's right. Like, yeah, that's the cool kid.
I'll let it go, but I'm gonna let that one slide away, but windows down, it's definitely that time of year again. It's been great. My midweek, Monday, had a little little beer volleyball. I mean, beach volleyball. That was fun. A lot of fun. We went out and played. We were the worst team out there, probably by – I think we only scored, like, in the three games we played to 21, we scored about 14 points.
Total? Total?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we went to trivia on Tuesday night.
Do any better there?
Yeah. A lot better there. But we were sitting next to this group of old people that were so excited about their trivia, they covered up their answers every time.
They like do the huddle. Shh.
Yeah. And they all brought index cards, took notes. And then covered up their answers every time. It was hysterical. So they wouldn't talk. They just passed the note cards around.
Oh my God.
It was intense.
They should go to the Green Mill where everyone was just shouting.
They might be
it's
good.
It's Billy Joel.
Yeah. Idiot. It was pretty funny though. We were like, yeah, we're a little out of our league here, but it was fun. It was a good time. It was good to go out and
trivia's a lot of fun.
Yeah, had a couple beers Monday, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night had to work from home. So
living the adult life, you know, gotta be responsible a little bit, just every once in a while.
Yeah.
Baby steps to responsibility.
Baby steps. I'm working my way up to being a full adult, but not yet.
Not there.
Like,
not there.
So when you have a kid, does it just automatically make you a full adult?
I think whatever you have left on the adult scale, well, I mean,
they're teenage parents, right? So those teenagers are more adult than I am.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah, yes, definitely they are.
I mean, they don't have to care for a kid, so that's a pretty big responsibility. So
I just give them the adult right away. If you're turned 16 and you have a kid, you can drink. Go ahead. I mean, that might not be that's kind of got a natural selection type vibe towards it. I don't really think that's a good idea, but
I can see what you're saying with that, but I do think there's some other things you need to iron out first.
Yeah, definitely adults. Though
life choices might not be at a pre, you know.
Yeah, you know, whatever. You know, they were responsible enough. I'm for it. I'm all for it. Yeah. And that was not being sarcastic. It sounded very sarcastic. So anyway, let's slide into a podium here before I get in trouble. podium of sports movies. Charlie, why don't you pick a side, heads or tails? Ready?
Heads.
This is a Japanese coin, so I think that's heads. Go ahead.
Okay, number one. It's got to be Miracle. Miracle on Ice.
I knew you were going to pick that one. I had it on my list, and I was like, there's no way.
Who do you play for? The United States of America.
We're a family, Herb.
That's all, gentlemen. That's all.
We're a family, Herb.
We're family. And this is a family you want to go to Lake Placid with? Definitely.
All right.
What do you got? Okay.
God, that was great. I love that one. I think my first one is kind of off the spectrum, but The Natural.
Ooh, great ending. Great ending.
That one, honestly, one of my best. He hits the freaking skin off the ball.
Lights out.
Oh, man, that's one. That is probably one of my favorite baseball movies. But, all right.
All right, number two, bear with me. Remember the Titans.
I like it. I
love it. The soundtrack is amazing. I still listen to the soundtrack.
Oh, that's a good one. I don't think you can't not like that movie. I think my third ones, I'm going to have two for three, and you're not going to like that one. Like, it's pretty weird. But anyway, my second one, Rocky.
I've never seen Rocky.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. You can't not be pumped up watching some guy just get the shit beat out of him and then turn around and beat the shit out of someone. I love it.
I've just never
it's such seen... it's an inspirational movie, 100%. And it makes you love Philly a little bit, even though I kind of hate Philly. It makes you love it a little bit.
So, remember when Kicking and Screaming came out? This is not my third, by the way. Kicking and Screaming. And they have the Eye the Tiger.
Yeah.
They have Eye the Tiger in there. And me and my sister, we both never seen Rocky. And we used to joke with my mom. Like, hey, this is a song from Kicking and Screaming. And she's like, no, it's from Rocky.
Oh, my God.
We knew it was from Rocky, but we were just making fun and playing games. But, yeah. Okay. Number three. Here we go. Space Jam.
Oh, God, that's a good one, too. Michael
Jordan and the Toon Squad.
Oh, that's a steal. That's a steal of a pick at three.
I believe I can fly.
That could have been taken round one.
I believe I could touch the sky. Think about it every night and day.
I got a two for one.
Well, that's cheating, but whatever.
I know, but I got last pick, so basically.
Fine, Mighty Ducks. There's my two for one.
Ooh, damn it. Benchwarmers and Waterboy.
Love both those.
But if you have to watch them back to back for it to be like a complete cohesive movie, because you just feel dumb after watching those.
My mama said alligators so ornery, they have all those teeth and no toothbrush.
beef stew.
Oh, how you feeling?
Love it.
I don't know. I destroyed that porter potty, but I feel pretty good now. Oh my God, who did this?
That's my Miata. Get him, boys. Oh, God. I freaking love that movie.
I am 12.
Looks legit.
He's got documentation.
Oh. And now we welcome on a very special guest. I couldn't give her a good introduction, so Charlie?
We have my mom on today. Honored to have her on. Great listener. My number one fan through life. So here's my mom. Seamless transition.
That was good. I like that.
Perfect.
I'm gonna have that part written down.
One for
you're
one.
You're probably the most prepared. She's got note cards and everything ready to go. But I'll jump into the first question here. We asked this to everyone who listens. Basically, what's your favorite Grant and Charlie story? Charlie usually asks it and says, "What's your favorite Charlie and me story?" But I guess I ask it.
Yeah, it goes back and forth.
Never mind. I can't think about that today. Anyway, what's your favorite story of Charlie or me, I guess? Yeah, we're up for both.
And or slash both, yeah.
Well, I did give this a little thought, and I'll have to go back to one of my very first memories of you two. And although I can't exactly remember what year it was, you guys were probably – I know you were in six and under swimming. So
six and under.
That's a few years ago. And I'm not sure if there was a lot of dialogue exchange between the two of you, but it was just instant comfort friendship. And you'd sit on the side of the pool and you'd share and trade baseball cards. And both of you had a passion for baseball. Both of you had a huge collection of cards. And God only knows how you decided which card passed between the two of you. But I think that was one of my first memories of you guys. And then from there sprang quite a relationship and friendship.
Yeah. Fun story about that baseball trading. I once traded Grant. Grant gave me a Mickey Mantle card, and I gave him like one of those like Tops like advertisement type cards, where it was like Alex Rodriguez, Rafael Palmeiro, and like some I think it was Canseco.
I was stunned by the brand. You know, they had all those guys on there. Canseco was on there. He didn't get busted for steroids.
Maybe I should have gone into sales because I got you good.
Probably. That would have been a good move. Oh, man. That was bad. Mary, what do you have any good stories about Charlie specifically? Everyone seems to make fun of me on this podcast. I'd love to smoke something out about Charlie.
I've noticed that, Graham. There's definitely a pattern to some of the stories, and I'm glad to know you guys had some fun in college and not just all hard work and study.
I kept him on his toes.
You did. Charlie used to be a biter and a hitter and a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad he grew out of that phase.
Wait, he grew out of that?
As far as I know, he has grown out of that. I used to be his target, so maybe he's become the target replacement. I don't know. But once he was able to use his words, he turned into a nice, sweet kid.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
You're welcome, Charlie.
Okay, as this is like a Mother's Day type celebration, we wanted to ask you, do you have any favorite moments from Mother's Day that you've been a part of, either, you know, as a our family, or when you were growing up doing something for your mom?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, in the Wallach family, celebrations and holidays are quite a tradition.
Oh, yeah.
So we can't seem to let anything go by without celebrating. So Mother's Day was just another one of those days growing up where we always acknowledged my mom and celebrated. I'm sure we marched and ate cake. But I'd have to say, let's see, Mother's Day growing up with you and Kate was a little different in the fact that you're both a little bit more like your dad. There's a subdued amount of celebrating and acknowledging the person being celebrated. So they were a little bit, we had to give way to a Charlie and Katie Day every summer. That was a tradition. And so I felt like Mother's Day, any day was Mother's Day, but I could spend time with you.
Sorry, got a little motorcycle out there. But thank you, Mom. That was very, very nice.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it is true. Kate and I aren't exactly the best at, like, you know, getting the balloons out and everything, but we tried. We tried our best.
Hopefully you felt it emotionally.
Oh, very much so.
So, growing up, I know I knew Charlie a little bit when we were little, and then we kind of grew apart for a little while and then came back together in college. But what did you think Charlie was going to become, or why did you think he was going to become what he is today, career-wise?
You know, he talked about being a dentist a lot growing up, so kind of thought that might have been a path he would have pursued. But interestingly enough, his oldest uncle, who is a dentist, gave him advice to steer clear of being a dentist. So that kind of squelched those dreams. But I knew he'd be something in the math and sciences field, so that wasn't a surprise. His dad also started in engineering, but I'm glad to say that Charlie persevered and actually conquered engineering. So I knew it would be something in the math and sciences. He's a cerebral type of guy.
You can just say nerdy. It's cool.
You, on the other hand, Grant, I knew you'd be in sales or some sort of people connecting career.
I'm not in sales. It's fine.
But you're just starting out, and I think you have the ability to do that and do it well.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome, Grant.
All right, next question. One of the big moments, at least as a kid growing up, is learning how to drive. And you were the lucky parent who was in charge of teaching Kate and I how to drive. I want to know if you have any funny stories or memories, or what was it like for you sitting in the passenger seat with one of us behind the wheel?
It was a little nerve-wracking. I remember first Kate, I remember her being very intimidated about having total control of this big thing of steel, and that whatever she did made it move, and whatever she did made it stop. So with her, it was a lot more timid and a lot slower. With you, Charlie.
I was ready.
I like where this is going.
You know, you're quite challenged, and that comes from both dad and I.
Yeah.
So, when you were 14, what? Getting a permit, we of course wanted to tell you to get you out there and get you started, but you couldn't reach the pedal sitting in the car. So, crew, you were able to reach him without the phone book.
It took about a year. I think in eighth grade, I think I was, what, you know, 5 foot, 90 pounds max. Like.
So what year of college did you get rid of the phone books?
Actually, when I moved here.
Okay, good.
I'll leave the Iowa phone books behind. I don't need those phone numbers.
Yeah, you could get some Illinois numbers.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing that your generation realizes a phone book is for. Something to sit on or create height. Not used it, never used it for phone books.
I mean, I just ripped them in half.
True that.
I do remember folding the pigtails on the pages for all my friends' houses.
Oh, okay.
For summertime, when I had to call all my friends summertime. And hang out.
Before we had GPS on our phones.
Yeah.
I just remembered them, so then I would dial them and they wouldn't have to worry about it. Because I didn't get a phone until I was 16. So you had to remember all the numbers.
Yeah, I don't think Charlie did. Well, you probably
did. I had the Wallig's phone number memorized.
Always have one phone number
and I had yours.
Memorized for emergency.
I had your cell phone and worked one. But yeah, I think you got a phone. I started carrying like that payphone we had.
Yes.
In eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
And then.
Okay.
Later in eighth grade, 14th birthday, I got my first real phone.
You got your full-fledged phone.
Yeah, big day. Surprise birthday party at a deep dish pizza place.
That sounds like what we would do now.
Yeah, sounds like Tuesdays.
It does.
I surprise myself with a pizza every Tuesday. I never see it coming.
So, Mary, this is another question we've asked before, but basically, what have you learned about Charlie from listening to this podcast? I know you've listened to some of them, or what has been reaffirmed from listening to our podcast?
I'm going to go with what's been reaffirmed, and one of the neat things that I've appreciated is the two of your relationship and the fact that you are kind of yin and yang. You're opposite but yet very compatible. Charlie's a little more serious, Grant's a little more lighthearted, and the two of you complete each other in a really good way, and it's really coming through in these podcasts. And I think you're each the fact that when I read your blog that explained the reason for creating the podcast, it just blew me away and reinforced what friendship is, because you guys both have moved away from all your college friends and a lot of your high school friends, and what a great way to keep in touch with not only with each other but with other people. So this has been a really good thing. It's been very, very heartwarming to see this and hear this, aside from all the other goofy stories that
I mean, yeah. I can't run for public office anymore, but I still love it.
We have hung up like the podcast conversation and just kept talking every week after we record, and half the time the conversation comes back to, I can't believe like we had 4 years of like living together with like no problems, like, because we are different, like we are very different personalities, but we've always just gotten along, and we've always been able to shrug off anything that bothered us, and so. Yeah,
it's really cool, guys, and you're lucky to have that kind of friendship.
Yep, very, very much so.
And I'm lucky he has a great mother, too.
Thanks, Grant.
All right, Mom, that was the last question, but I just wanted to take this time to say thank you so much for being the light in my life and being my mom and just being the ultimate inspiration for, you know, the ultimate role model, the ultimate inspiration, and just someone I can always look up to, but someone I can always talk to as well and get the support and guidance I need. So I want to say thank you, and I love you very much.
I love you too, man. Best job ever, being your mom. Hashtag favorite child.
Woo! Suck it, Kate.
Love you too.
Love you too, Grant.
All right. Bye, Mom. Thank you.
Bye, Mary. Thanks.
Bye.
That was fun. That was fun.
Love my mom.
Good old Mary. Yeah. I guess we are pretty lucky. That guy got kind of sappy at the end there.
I can, here, quick story just to bring it, you know, full circle with a little bit of happiness on top. So going back to the swimming, I remember going in, signing, registering for the swim team that first year. I was like 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
And my only rule was I wasn't going to wear a Speedo.
Yeah.
That year was the first year they started wearing jammers, so I was good. I was set. I could do swim team. But they didn't have a size small enough to fit me.
Uh-oh.
So I had to get like my own special one. It wasn't like the team colors or anything, the club colors. It was like one that was separate for the really small kids.
Oh my god. You basically had to get in the baby pool.
Pretty much. It was, yeah.
They just forced you to go pee in the baby pool. So rough life.
Yeah.
Rough life. Well, that kind of brings us to a little going soft, huh?
Perfect transition.
nothing softer than a 5-year-old kid, I guess. Just because they cry a lot. That's that was bad. it's not what I meant, but it's what I said. So, well, I'll start, I guess, since I'm already on the topic.
Go for it.
Basically, I've been like a weenie about when it gets really warm out. It's like it feels nice. So this past couple days have been really nice, but like Sunday I was playing golf and it got hot out. It was like legitimately hot, like 85 degrees, and the sun's beating down on me, and I'm like, God, I just want to go in some air conditioning for a little bit and relax.
Must be nice to have air conditioning.
Yeah. No, because it's like, think about it. In college, we never had it, and I never thought about it. I was like, all right, it's just pretty hot in here. We'll just turn some fan on and point them at myself.
I would just like walk around with a big box fan and like just go to like the outlet.
Yeah, you're like John Cusack with a box fan.
Yeah.
God, I love it. But yeah, it's that. Also, a little bonus going soft. And this has been true for a while, so maybe I'm just born this way, but I just fall asleep, like sitting up. I can just fall asleep. I was at work the other day, and I legit just started falling asleep sitting up because we didn't have anything to do, and I was really tired. And I my eyes closed. It was probably like 30 seconds too long. And I like, and then you open your eyes, you're like, shit. I was definitely asleep.
I'm awake.
Don't worry. Don't fire me. I swear. I was just dozing off. And it's not even like I got a lot of sleep the night before too. I was just asleep.
You weren't doing anything, so yeah. I just powered up.
It's like someone flipped the switch off. Exactly.
All right, for me, it was this weekend. My buddy came and visited on Saturday, but he didn't get here until like 12:30 p.m. So a.m., I guess. So technically Sunday morning.
Nice.
And so I set an alarm to make sure I would be awake because I was just sitting on the couch like at like 10 o'clock. Like, I'm going to bed. Oh so I set an alarm to wake back up at like
11:30. Oh,
and my God. So I got in around like 12:15 or so, actually. But yes, I set an alarm to make sure I was actually awake.
Yeah, like, that's pretty late.
Midnight on a Saturday.
And why wouldn't they just, like, I wouldn't be able to go out after that. So good for you for being able to go out.
It was tough.
I'd be like, you guys can go out. I'll let you back in when you come back.
I tried really hard to, like, we can just drink here. I have beer. I have everything we need.
Yeah.
Like, no, let's go out. I'm like, oh, like dang it. Fine.
I guess we'll go out and do that. Oh, God.
It was a good time, though. I was glad I waited out. It was good.
Yeah, well, that's good. Now the reintroduction of a favorite segment of mine, because it gives me 90 seconds off. But this Charlie's Sports 90. What are we talking about today, Charlie?
In honor of the Kentucky Derby, I'm going to try my very best to kind of explain sports gambling, like horse gambling.
All right, that's gonna be fun. I'm gonna give you 90 seconds on the clock. Ready, go.
Okay, so the basic ones are win, place, show. Win is obviously the horse wins. Place is horse gets first or second. Show, horse gets first, second, or third. It can be any one of those. The minimum bet for those is usually $2. These are the bets like for the beginners. Quick example. So if a horse has 7-to-1 odds, it would, on a $2 bet, it would pay out $16 if you had to win. If you said the horse was going to place, it would pay out $7 if the horse got first or second. And if you said it was going to show, you'd get $5 if the horse got first, second, or third. So that's that. And then you have a couple more of the fancier bets. You have like the exacta, which is you pick the two horses that are going to go first and second, and you have to give them in the right order. That's the key. And usually the minimum bet for that is $1. Pays out a little bit. It pays out better. The odds aren't as good, or the odds are yeah, worse, so it pays out better. And then you have the exacta box, also known as the quinella, which is you just pick two horses and you put that bet in and it does it automatically. So either horse is first, second, but it's like usually then it's a $2 bet to, you know, cover both combinations. And then you can go down to the trifecta, which is the top three horses, you know, first, second, and third in a row. Minimum bet's usually 50 cents. Again, the odds are oh, wow, that went by fast.
Yeah, it went by
fast. Well, if you want to know more, Google it. Yeah. That's what I did.
Google it, because... half the time when you're gambling on horses, you just don't really know what you're gambling on anyway.
I'm a big exacta guy, exacta box, and I'm a big place guy. I go place and exacta box on most of my races.
I like the beginner's bets. I just picked win for Justify at the Kentucky Derby.
It's like 9-4 or something like that.
It was like 7-2.
Yeah. Hey, but you won.
It still paid out $780.
Yeah. So winning is still winning.
It wasn't bad. And I had win play show for 11, which was Audible, and Audible got third.
So you kind of covered your money there pretty much.
Yeah, I hedged myself. I made a really financial bet there. I hedged my bottom line and then I made a really ballsy call on a different horse. But that didn't pay out, so whatever.
It's still fun. If you have the chance to do it, I recommend it.
100%.
I do enjoy gambling a little bit, though, but I don't, like, that's not, like, I find that gambling way more enjoyable, and it's, like, these are $2 bets, so it's not like you're losing, and the horses are, like, and the races are, like, every 25, 30 minutes, so it's not like you're betting really fast, so you can, it's an easy way just to put a little money, and it makes the races feel, I don't know, to me, more important.
Oh, yeah, I love the races, and you get to go out there, you get to smell the track, smell the horse poop. You get to watch the sweaty horses walk around.
I love it. Usually beer to buy.
Oh, there's always beer. Always beer. The thing is that the horse track is never conveniently located in a central location.
What do you mean? Like in a city or?
Yeah, so it's like drinking beer, right? You go out there and you're like, man, I love
it. You have to have a DD.
Yeah, you have to have a DD, and that's not always easy to find. So if you go out there, you're like, I have to have a DD, because you're like out in the middle of. I mean, you're not in the middle of nowhere, but you have to go 20 minutes from, which isn't that bad, in Des Moines.
Go across.
I've been in Des Moines too long. I'm complaining about my 20-minute drive to get out to the casino and then go back, which is the same in, like, Minneapolis. Go out to...
Yeah, that's like a 40-minute commute from where we were in St. Paul.
From St. Paul to Canterbury.
Yeah. Dollar race nights every Thursday.
Dollar race nights. Oh, man. It's great. I love that shit. Anyway, we'll bring her around with some quotes now, and we'll wrap it up, and it should be a pretty good Mother's Day weekend.
Okay, I'm gonna say my quote, and I'm gonna give you one guess to see who said it. See if you can guess who said it.
All right.
Walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light.
Hmm. It's either Edgar Allan Poe?
No, I'm not quoting The Raven Nevermore.
No? What about Dr. Seuss?
No, Helen Keller.
Well, yeah, it's always in the dark for her. Is that she doesn't really have a choice, huh?
Yeah, but I thought it was good. Walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light.
I guess, I
like that one.
I kind of like my, walks on mornings and stuff, but whatever, you know, Helen Keller knows better than I, probably. Mine, you can guess who said it, but I don't know, so I'd like to see your guess. it is, how lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye hard.
Hey, I said that.
When?
I don't know, that's me and my response, I was playing my response before I even knew what the quote was, I was just gonna say that, like, hey, I said that.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, so you didn't even listen. Do you want me to repeat it?
No, it was saying goodbye is hard.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. All right, well, goodbye.
See ya.
All right. Deuces.